Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Hey, welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And folks, you know, I say it week after week, but I got to promise you this one for today, because if you're not listening to this show, tuned into this show, taking some copious notes from the information that you receive from this show, you're definitely going to miss it. You're definitely going to miss, or you may have to catch it on the playback, but I want you to join us live. I want you to be here and be a part of the conversation. If you want to join in on this conversation today, you can always join us at 516-453-9932. 516-453, for those of you that take a while to write that number down, 9932. And we'll get you in on this conversation for sure, because I think we're going to unpack some things today that definitely give you a different perspective on your child being involved in sports, because we have reached all the way across the country just for this one. You know, we done did some things. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we was up in Canada, had our guest on from Canada to share some great information as far as the mental toughness piece. And then prior to that, close of 2021, we did a nice little thing with our folks from Sports Parenthood over there in Australia. And now we done brought it back here to the States and reached across the country, clear to the West Coast. And we're going to bring you some things that, if it doesn't make you scratch your head, it at least it'll give you a better feeling that saying that you are now on track, or you have some additional resources to figure out what you need to do next to help your child while your child is involved in this thing called sports. And I say this thing called sports because this is truly an industry and truly a business that if we as parents don't understand and really and truly don't get a feel for, our children could be taken advantage of. I'm just going to put it plain and simple. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to put it plain and simple. But, hey, it is what it is. So that's why we here at the Parents Coaching Parents Network and other great organizations like the one I'm going to bring up here shortly called the Sports Moms Network. And we're just going to share some information as far as what we have done to help our children reach their own personal level of success. Yes, folks, you are listening to the Parents Coaching Parents Network, as I like to say.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coaching Parents Network.
You are listening to the
number one sports parent podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. Folks, you know, I can't start my show each and every Sunday without giving my man, Mr. Keith Wright, some props. Keith did this piece for me some years ago, and I had to title this piece, The College Experience, because this was his experience while he played basketball at the University of Harvard. Well, check out what Keith has to say. Where you at, Keith?
Well,
grew up a student of the game. Had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating dead. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and he said he's making smart cool. Making smart cool. You know, those are some words that we got to definitely try to deeply embed in the minds of our children, because our children need to understand it's okay to be smart. It's okay. It is okay. It's a cool thing. It's not a negative thing. It's a cool thing. And you know, the funny part about it, those very same words, and I don't know if Keith, no, I can't say Keith pulled those words from President Obama, but I heard President Obama echo those very same words. And I have to say, I don't think Keith got those words from him, because Keith put the piece together for me back in 2010. And I heard Obama say it a few times during his time in office. And definitely understand the value of making smart cool. But folks, like I said, I got a great guest here today. And without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring our guest up so that our guest can come on and just give us some insight of who she is and what she has going on, and tell us more about the Sports Mom Network. Shauna, are you on with us?
I am. First of all, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
So, my name is Shoshana. Everybody calls me Shauna. How Sports Mom Network got started is I come from a family of sports. My three kids, they participated in sports. I realized I dropped the ball with my youngest daughter in her recruiting when she was playing volleyball. So I started a Facebook group, and I just started giving information as my son started his recruiting. What you need to do, do you have your NCAA number? What questions to ask when you're in recruiting? Are you getting your film out? Are you doing the questionnaire? And it kind of just went from there. More people started coming in the group. You know, they would ask different questions. I would ask questions to different that were going through recruiting just to see if things were different with my son and their son, how I can tweak it or if I needed to tweak it. Then we talked about testing. So that's basically how Sports Mom Network got started, because although we know there are some awesome dads, but some dads work a lot. And so from that, you have the moms who are taking them to practice here, you know, up at the crack of dawn, not getting home till late. So I just felt like, okay, moms, we need to be on top of things too, just in case someone asks you a question. You don't have to be like, okay, wait, let me ask my husband because I'm not really sure. We want you to have that quick response too and still go back to your husband are the kid's father and say, hey, this is what they said. This is what I asked. Here go where we are. That way you're not being taken advantage of, because let's be real. If you don't know, you can very well be taken advantage of.
Yes, yes, yes. So true. So true. So true. And that is such a powerful reason why that you created that great vehicle called the Sports Mom Network. You know, and it's interesting that I've been doing this for, I would say, started the Parents Coach the Parents Network around about 2007, and had an opportunity to interact with quite a few parents. But I find the moms to be more dedicated to the process. The moms are not caught in it for the wrong reason. The moms are caught in
right.
it for, you know, they're in it for the overall betterment of their child, whereas dads may get caught up in it for the glory of saying that, you know, my child is playing at this Division I level, or my child made it to the professional ranks or whatever. You know, they're in it for the wrong reason. And sometimes that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. So hats off to all those moms that's in the Sports Moms Network, and continue to do great things. And we are here to support you and your endeavors and whatever you are doing moving forward. Hey, if by any means, any way, any shape, form, or fashion, we can be there to support you and help you out. Hey, we're going to be there. You know,
that's right. And I'm going to hold you to that. Look, I'm going to hold you to it. Because I may say,
no,
hey, Michael, I need you on my show.
that is no problem. That is no problem. Matter of fact, as I was putting this here show together and thinking about, you know, moving forward in 2022. Wow. It's even hard trying
right.
to say that, because last thing I blinked my eye was 2019. Now we talking 2022.
Right.
Good night.
Right.
But, you know, it's something else. But as I was thinking about that during this show, and I said, okay, Sports Mom Network. And then we also have Sports Parents Network, Sports Family Network out there. And then I just did a show a couple weeks ago with Sports Parenthood. And I did a show, you know, not too long ago with a couple other folks, Parents and Athletes Connection, you know, and all these different entities that's out there, you know, that's doing great things and doing positive things for our kids. We all need to come together to make sure that we're on the same, not even have to be on the same page. I'm not going to use that cliche. I'm going to say, let's just be in the same book. You know,
right.
let's be in
we
the same book of
understanding. We need to have some kind of seminar or something. Just
yes.
every six
yes.
months, you know, because
yes.
I feel like it is just me personally.
Mm-mm.
This
Go
recruiting,
ahead.
It's political.
Yes.
And if you're not careful, you'll get caught up in the political game. Like,
go
seriously.
Ahead, talk now. Talk now.
So you have to be aware of everything that's going on. Because, like I told so I have two girls and a son.
Mm-hmm.
That were in sports. My son was highly recruited. So I was telling him, you know, youth football and high school football, that's fun. Getting ready. But that college, that's a different beast. Now it becomes a business.
Yes.
And now you're trying to talk to a 17, 18-year-old on how to keep it at a business mindset when all they want to do is play. They're not worried about it. But we as parents, you see all the politics behind it. And it's not for the weak. I tell people that all the time. I try to share my story just because if I miss something and with helping my kids, maybe I can help you. So you don't miss that, because it's crazy. And before you know it, you'll be in debt and all into this recruiting, and you'll be like, well, yesterday they was calling me every day, and I ain't heard from them in 2 days. That's because they moved on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you have
mm-hmm.
to be okay with that. You have to entertain those who are entertaining you. And go ahead.
Even with that particular part, and I'm glad you brought that point up, you know, that could be disappointing to our children if they're not prepared
Absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely.
And we as parents who understand the game and understand the business aspects of the game and help them understand that this is a business situation that you're
yes.
about to embark on, you know,
yes.
helping them to understand that helps them move forward. And we being the buffer to help them kind of like guide them and mold them and make sure that, hey, at the end of the day, they understand they're going to get the best out of this situation, because we're going to be there to be in their corner to make sure it happens. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. No. I just, you know, my son, he's his first year of college. The man in California never left the field to now going to, now you're starting all over, you know. And so I try to tell parents who listen or who ask me, because I don't just arbitrarily just, oh, hey, yeah. If you ask me, I'll tell you. And I try to tell people their first year in college, that's going to make or break them. Because if they're used to being on that field and they're not on the field, but in that recruiting stage, they're told they're going to be on the field and they're not, you're going to spend a lot of time talking to your kid, you know, letting your kid know you're good. You know, you can still play. You're a baller. That mental health is real.
Yes.
Because when you played all this time and then you go, you want to get on the field because you enjoy the sport. You know, and you know what I mean? You're trying to tell them, okay, when your number is called, you know what you got to do. They don't want
exactly.
to hear that, you know. So it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we as parents do to keep our kids' mental health good and not to where they get depressed because they're not out there. Because if that's all they've done and that's what they love and they're not getting out there, that messes with their mental health. Excuse me.
Yes.
That messes with them. So your job is not done, parents, just because you got them through high school. Your job becomes harder when they get to college.
Come on now. Talk to them. Let them know something. You know, and yeah. as we talk about this hard job and how things become a little bit more complex moving into the college realm, you know, let's open up the conversation talking a little bit about this transfer portal situation, you know, because, yeah. you know, my mindset and what I always share with our parents here at Parents Coach Parents Network is just simply understanding that if you take your time and you select the right institution,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you are there for the ride of your time, your child's time at that institution, you're going to support them all the way through the time that they shouldn't even have to have the conversation about no transfer portal.
Yeah.
You know, but I see this happening time in and time out because they're chasing the wrong dream. And then when things don't turn out right for them, or that coach gets fired, or that coach decides to move on to bigger and better things, or whatever happened with that coach, and that coach is not giving you the right time on the field, now you want to transfer. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
So with the transfer portal, this is how I explain it. This is how I see it. This is just me. Like I said, my son is a freshman. So he was frustrated, and he was like, well, Mom, you know, if this don't work out, no. We're going to compete. Because I do feel like if you can play and you a baller and they give you that one opportunity,
mm-hmm.
show them a reason why not to take you off the field or give them a glimpse of what they're going to be seeing, whatever it may be. Now, don't get me wrong. I know sometimes there are people who need to transfer, but that's that 1%. How it's going now, it just seems like the coaches leave and all of a sudden you've seen – a rush of kids
yes.
going into the portal. And by this, I think what the problem, I don't want to say the problem. You can go into the portal and you can immediately start playing when you get picked up. Okay. But now everybody's going into the portal. So I think NCAA is going to eventually halt that. It's going to be where you're going to have to sit out. And then you're gonna the transfers may start subsiding at that point, because now you know if you go into the portal, guess what? You know if that school pick you up, you can play still.
Mm-hmm.
It's not gonna affect you. And like I said, it'd be that 1% that yeah they probably need to go into the portal, but then what about the other 99%? Or and the 1% times is your new coaching staff is saying, hey, we're going into a different direction. Don't sell yourself short, because at the end of the day, remember, it's still a business.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
yes.
So it's still a business, you know, and you are the commodity. You got to see what you're going to do with yourself. How are you going to sell yourself?
You know, it's interesting that you use that word. I did an entire show on words of that nature and how some of these sports analysts and coaches and other folks out here that's connected to the industry, how they refer to our children as commodities and,
yeah.
You know, what's going to be your return on your investment. And coaches want to know what's their return on their investment and what is the ceiling of this particular kid. And, you know, you're talking like you're talking about a piece of livestock. You know,
yes.
Like you just purchase a prime bull, you know, and you understand that this bull is going to turn out some seeds to make some more great bulls and healthy calves and all this old kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's what they really and truly think about our children. Look at them as being a commodity, you know, but if you think about it from the business perspective, that is so true. Hey, we got a caller that just joined us. I want to see if this caller wants to jump in and ask any questions or had a comment. Area code 615. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. It's Jane Zetta.
Hey. Oh, wow.
Hi.
We are blessed today. We are blessed today. Well, Shauna, let me introduce you to the world-renowned Ms. James out of Cleveland, better known as Sports Mom U. So we got Sports Mom U on Sports Mom Network. Oh, man, we doing it today.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for asking. Congratulations on your son.
Thank you.
Being a freshman, congratulations.
Thank you.
So did you have something that you wanted to ask a question or you wanted to make a comment in reference to what our guest is talking about today?
Well, I'm going to make a comment about the transfer portal conversation.
Okay.
A couple of things that I believe is going to come out. I'm one of those people that doesn't believe that the NCAA is going to make a change. It's going to stay. You transfer and you can immediately play. But what people do not understand is that we have everybody got an extra year of eligibility with COVID, but schools did not perpetually get an extra amount of scholarships. They got an extra few scholarships in 2020, but this 2021, they have to be back under their scholarship levels. And if you have kids who all could return and made no plans to go professional or to complete their degrees, they have nowhere to go but back to your program. But the flip side of that is that coaches sometimes have to get them out because I don't have extra scholarships to give you anymore. And so that is probably not going to go away until maybe 2024, 2025, because you just because of the sheer number of extra athletes that you have. But what I will say is that you're going to start seeing coaches use the transfer portal to help them win now. You're already seeing it in certain extents. And so this makes a difference between coaches because some coaches are not people managers. Some coaches are process-driven. They only care about their stars. But because they run little fiefdoms, athletes have had nowhere to go. So the coaches that are genuinely going to keep their actual players are ones that are people managers, true people leaders, but you're always going to see other, like Deion Sanders is a really great example. He uses the transfer portal with surgical precision. And there are other schools that I could name. It's a great way. If you're a coach that's on the hot seat or if you're on the bubble, you go into the portal and you get exactly what you need to win the very next season. And so everyone's not in the portal because they can't compete. And coaches are going to use it because it benefits them. It helps them. It's going to start helping them keep their job. And so high school students are going to have to learn how to show up differently because that means they're going to be less spot.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
But
I agree
with you there because high school students are the ones who's getting shortchanged through all of this from the pandemic. High school students are going to have to be at a wow moment to get over on those who are in the portal and JUCO level. Now they're going to have to be over and beyond just to get a look at, in my opinion. Because I see schools looking at the portal, they're looking at JUCO, and then it's the high school kids. So high school kids are really going to have to put in some work and put up some numbers to have that wow moment.
They're going to have to learn how to market themselves. And that's one of the things that high school students have never had to do. Yes, everybody has to put in the work, even JUCO.
Yeah.
Everybody has to put in the work. But what has happened is high schoolers haven't had competition, and they haven't had the level of content creators to market them. Some coaches at the high school level do phenomenal jobs. They make websites for their entire teams. They have what I call digital resumes with not just film, but with character references, and they give little small interviews so a coach gets to know a kid from a distance. Talent and measurables, that will never go away. But the ability to market yourself as a high school athlete, that piece is something that they're going to have to learn. And frankly, they've never had to do that before. Not really.
Right. I mean,
go ahead.
That's true. No, I was just going to say, it's a great thing that they are doing that. And because that little piece will be that piece that will be needed right now and in the future.
You know, and this is all so interesting that, you know, we understand it, and we, as, you know, just this small group of us that's on here talking about it, understand the value and the importance of making sure that other parents get this information out. Other parents understand this information, not just understand it, but know how to use it to their advantage and help their athletes use it to their advantage. You know, because at the end of the day, it's all about our children, making sure that they get the best out of every situation and they reach their own personal level of success. We have another caller that just joined in on the conversation, and I'm going to bring that caller up and see if that caller had anything that he or she wanted to add to what we have heard so far coming from Sports Mom Network. Area code 972. Welcome to the Parents Coach the Parents Network.
Hello, you guys. This is Karen from Texas. This is a great, great conversation. I just love the conversation that you sports parents are having. And it just because you're having it, it just shows how valuable it is and how important it is that parents take an active role into their kids' future. And so if your kid is playing sports and you know, trying to get their grades, they're focusing on that. And this just shows how important it is for parents to know what's going on and how to help their child navigate through these new systems and these new things that they're getting thrown at them at this particular time. And so I just love the conversation you guys are having.
Well, we thank you for joining us. And yes, this is Karen from Texas, better known as Can We Talk Sports. That great group of phenomenal ladies out there in Texas that's doing it out there from, you know, hey, I can't touch it, you know, because Texas is too big for me, so I can't even mess with it. But Can We Talk Sports is doing another great job out there as far as, you know, just helping our kids understand how to get the best out of this situation. Continue to do what you're doing out there from Texas, and continue hanging on with us in this conversation.
All right, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
You know, as we think about this whole thing, you know, and some of the things that our two guests just also just added in and alluded to, you know, some of this mm-hmm. stuff, if it gets away from us, you know, it can turn into a really ugly situation. And if our
right.
children don't maximize the opportunities to make the best out of the situation, it can turn into a very nasty looking scandal. You know, the little smallest thing from a kid getting some Skittles from somebody was once a very ugly situation as far as the NCAA is concerned. You know, we got
right.
several other college scandals going on in today's society, college athletics.
Right.
What do you think about some of those things, and what some of the things or actions that Sports Mom Network can do, or, you know, any parent can do to help minimize those situations?
Okay. So in my opinion, we as parents, you can do everything. You can tell your kid, pay attention to this, pay attention to that. And some stuff still squeaks by you. But you have to be able to let your kid know if it's too good to be true, it ain't for you.
Mm.
If you don't have to put no work into it, and most people who have climbed that ladder to get to where they want to get, they have worked. It has been consistent work, and it shows in the work that they're doing. So if somebody is just telling you, oh, don't worry about that, just I'll get you this, just do this, okay, it may be too good to be true. You may need to check, you know, you may need to start asking questions. Even with the, so one of the scandals everybody knows about it was the admission. It was at SC, but it wasn't the athletics, but the way they were getting the scholarships, it was one was a swim team, one was a track, one was something else. So they, in a sense, they were using the athletic department, and it wasn't really the athlete. You funneled that funding. So most of the time, it's not always the athlete. It's just how they're funneling that money through the school, and they're using it by the athletic department. So when it comes out, you like, look at the athletes. They ain't never satisfied. You get a free ride, and you still doing stuff. But in reality,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that's not even that. So you
that's
putting the blame
too.
On these athletes, but it's possibly not the athlete. It's possibly just how that money went through the school and which departments they used, hoping that it wouldn't have a red flag. But our athletes are the ones that get blamed for it.
Yes, because that's the first thing that comes out, and everybody sticks to, you know, there's something else going on in sports. No, that had nothing to do with sports. That was that institution
right.
and their
right.
misdealings and misguidance and
right.
Scandal and funneling folks through the athletic department because you think you can hide somebody, you know. Don't
right.
put that on the athletic department. Athletes had nothing to do with that. That was just some crooked administrators and crooked coaches and whoever else that was involved in that, and some boosters probably had their hands stuck in that, you know. But one thing that comes across my mind, and I just wanted to get your opinion on this as well, you know, here recently the whole conversation jumped up about name, image, and likeness, and
right.
I started thinking about that, and I know that Sports Mom U does a whole entire podcast series on name, image, and likeness, and you want to check that out
okay.
as well. But I'm
okay.
thinking about that, and thinking about some of these college scandals, like the situation that happened at Michigan State, the situation that happened at Penn State, the situation that happened at now Michigan, that's not
mm-hmm.
even being talked about, that's being you know, covered up, well, I should say kept very quietly. You know, when you look at something like that, and I need your opinion on this, and give it to me from
okay.
a mom's perspective. When you look
okay.
at a situation like that, where you have some doctor or some trainer or some person on the staff that's messing with these athletes in a sexual nature that just isn't right. But then you turn around and you figure out a way to wave over their head a name, image, and likeness deal, or somebody's going to, you know, give you this deal or give you this contract based upon you staying with this institution, and we not hearing anything about this scandal that's going on. That's what bothers me. Could you think about the Sandusky situation that happened at Penn State years ago with all those kids that he molested? And if somebody would have waved a name, image, and likeness deal over their heads, how many of these things would have been held on to? Give me your thoughts on that.
So, first of all, with the Penn State, there probably were boosters paying people. That's how come it probably took so long to get out. And it's no dig to boosters. This is just my opinion, you know. But here's the thing. When they come to athletes talking about, oh, we'll give you this money, they're going to athletes that know that they are working hard to maybe get their mom or their dad out of a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
So they see it as, okay, I'm going to take this bag and I'm going to make sure my mom or my dad or my grandparents, whoever it may be, is straight. Try doing that with somebody who doesn't need it to get their parents out. It's not going to work because they can go anywhere and get the name likeness now.
Yeah.
They can go anywhere and get the deal now, you know. So I really cringe towards that because I feel like they take advantage of these athletes who just want to get out to put their family in a better situation.
Yes.
And so they take what wrong they have done. Okay, we're going to keep paying you. Just stay here. We're going to figure it out. They sweep it under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to come out because that person is going to mess with somebody who ain't going to need the money.
Eventually. Yep. Yep.
Who's going to be like, nah, I don't need that money. Mm-mm. It still will come out, you know. And you know, it's not a – I know how I am with mine. You know, I always tell my son, if somebody is bothering you in a way, I don't give a – I don't care what they stand for. You need to come home, you know, because athletes already go through enough. Everybody, anybody who's in college, you already go through enough. Grades, studying, it's a lot. What you're not going to do is you're not going to play with my kids' mental state. We're not doing that.
There you go. There you go. Folks, you heard it from Sports Mom Network herself, Shoshana. And we're gonna take a hot break for a quick second, step away, and then come back and finish up this conversation, give you a chance to wet your whistle, folks. Anybody else want to join in on this conversation? 516-453-9932. And, you know, just based on that, we're going to come back rocking and rolling, ready to do this thing and make sure that parents gets the best out of it so that they can be better able to guide, assist, mentor, and educate their children as their children move forward in sports. We'll be right back.
Hey, Sean, let's go show now. Let's
go. Hey, don't go anywhere. The Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
Guide, athletes, scholarship, mentors, help you and elevate. Parents coaching, parents network, know the game.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number,
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBPA. We are pretty phone tag. If it's okay...
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA. You left...
Hey, Mike, this is John Belant, the head coach at West Virginia. Try to get in touch with you here, so... I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lakeville calling. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your facts.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all is going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sorry to bother you. I was actually just...
Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just wanted to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand...
Mr. Scott, how are you? This is Dave Leto calling from Virginia. Hope all is well. Just trying to touch base.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Guys, athletes, is scholarship mentors, help you and elevate. Parents, coaching, parents, network, know the game.
Hey, folks, we're back. We've been having a great conversation with Sports Mom Network, and she's just been unpacking some things that, you know, like I said, folks, it make you scratch your head, make you wonder, you know, I need to be more involved in this. Parents, we have a responsibility. We have a duty. We should have that unwilling drive and that passion to make sure that our kids get the best out of every situation, especially those involved in sport. Let me tell you something. Our kids involved in sports, parents, are far superior than any one of those kids. And I know some folks may frown their face, but it is what it is, and I'm going to call it how I call it. Far superior than any one of those kids that's sitting in that institution just there for straight academics. Somebody may say, Mike, you just dropped something pretty heavy. I'm like, no, that's the truth. And let me tell you why. And then we're going to go back and see what our sports mom has to say about this. But this is why. The average kid that goes to any institution, there to get their degree, just like any athlete that's there to get their degree, is going to go there and maintain the GPA and do great things, so on and so forth, and keep on moving in life. Got it. Athlete, go there, maintain the GPA, do great things, and keep on moving in life. But one advantage that that athlete has that the average student doesn't have, that athlete can probably do anything academically that that average student can do academically. If the athlete is maintaining a 3.5 GPA, 3.7 GPA, 4.0 GPA, just like that student, then what's the difference? Here's the difference. That athlete also is maintaining a high caliber of excellence on the field and off the field, on the court and off the court. That athlete has such a phenomenal brain Think about your average football player, average basketball player. They're coming down. They're dribbling the ball. In a matter of 2.5 seconds or less, they either done took a shot, passed the ball, made some type of maneuver, spin, jumped up in the air, did something extra, all within 2.5 seconds. They brain process all that, and they continue to move forward on that court or on that field. The average student can't do that. No, not today. You get the average student out there, and they can barely get, you know, they can get their little game on, but they don't have that extra gift, that extra talent, that extra piece of what I call genius about themselves to make them extraordinary like these athletes that's attending these institutions. Let's go back to the Sports Mom Network, and let's see what our guest is talking about here today, because we was talking about name, image, and likeness. We were talking about scandals that was going on, and I just wanted to see what she has to say about this little piece I just dropped on you. Are you still with us, Shauna?
I am. You know, I did want to say this, and it may
yes,
be
ma'am.
Off topic. I'm sorry. But
No, whatever way you want to go, roll with it.
With the NIL, I think it's a great thing for the athletes. And the reason why is because universities have been doing this for years with these
mm-hmm.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
Selling their jerseys, whatever it may be. And those kids could not benefit off of it. Now, just think if that would have been something that was offered. What's his name that got in trouble? Jameson. He wouldn't have got in trouble in Florida, or Florida State, if he was getting money from a name likeness.
Yep.
He wouldn't have got in trouble because he would have had the money.
Yep.
You know, I think universities.
Let's take it back a step further. Look at the
uh-huh.
Fab Five that came out of Michigan.
Oh, definitely.
The Fab Five put Michigan on the map as far as college basketball was concerned.
Yeah.
And they were still
definitely.
Selling Fab Five paraphernalia,
yep.
you know, at the university years after those five players left that institution.
Right.
And it was based upon a scandal
mm-hmm.
it ended up going south and turning into a bad situation because they said somebody
right.
was taking money and all this other kind of stuff. But here we are years later, and that's just water under the bridge.
Yes, that's a very good point because Fab Five, oh, they tried to drag them in the mud. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Fab Five, Reggie Bush,
yeah,
you know, all these
Reggie
different
Bush
situations,
yeah.
high-profile
yeah.
athletes.
Because,
that's right.
Because you think of it like this. Some kids come from a one-parent home. Some kids come from a two-parent home. We all know that. Some kids, they don't have to worry about anything. If their money runs out, they can call home and they can get some money. Some don't. The focus is on the some don't. You know what I mean? You got to think, this is an athlete. It's no excuse, but this is an athlete grinding. Got a scholarship to the school, can do all these things, but their family may be hurting. Like in Reggie Bush's situation, parents were about to lose their home. So now you're trying to think quick. Okay, what can I do? What can I do right now, right at this instant? Because now you're trying to figure out, okay, I'm almost there to where I'm about to sign, you know, get into the NFL and I can take care of my family. But we didn't have this little hiccup. If the
mm-hmm.
NIL would have been in place, he could have helped them.
That's right.
He could have helped them. He could have helped them pay their rent, their mortgage, whatever it may be. He could have helped his family.
Yeah.
So some people be like, oh, the NIL, but I think it's a good thing. Everybody's not going to get the same contract. We are all aware of that. But it helps you work at getting to that top contract that you may be looking for, whatever it may be. I know my son swear he going to get Gatorade. I'd be like, okay, baby, you're going to get Gatorade.
I agree with you. I agree with you that the NIL is long overdue. Name, image, and likeness, yes. and being able to profit from that is long overdue. I would only yes. want to see better regulations over it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that
what is one of the regulations you would want to see?
Say again?
I said, what would be one of your regulations that you would want to see?
Well, you know, just like the professional leagues have salary caps.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that there isn't that huge disparity between what this group of athletes can get compared to having some type of cap over how much money you can throw at a particular child. Because where you get to the point where you have these boosters, these alumni that are in good positions to mm-hmm. support the institutions, and they're all behind the sports program. Okay, next thing you know, we're going to run the risk of, especially with the latest and greatest ignition of sports betting.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go into this craziness of, you know, games being thrown and, you know, come on now. Folks can say, no, that ain't,
It'll happen. Yeah.
You throw enough money at a group of athletes on a particular team. If you throw enough money at two athletes on a basketball team, that game can go the way they want that game to go. You throw enough money at enough athletes on a football program, that game can go the way they want that game to go.
Absolutely.
So let's not pretend like this here name, image, and likeness doesn't have some bad sides to it. No, it just needs some regulations. And I'm not sure if the NCAA is the entity to impose these regulations. I think it needs a greater government oversight instead of the NCAA.
And you know what else I think? I think are they called the NIL agent? I feel like there needs to be some kind of class setting for these young athletes who may not have that support about their taxes, all those things. Because free money doesn't mean it's free. You're going to have to pay taxes on this money. So I do think that may get lost in the glamour of NIL.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to bring them back to the light, because those are the kids that need to be focused on, okay, this is a business, remember? You're getting paid. At the end of the year, you getting a 1099. You getting it. You got a foul on that.
I'm gonna bring Sports Mom U back up for a second, because I know she does a phenomenal job with name, image, and likeness. And I know she has something that she wants to add to this conversation. Go ahead, Sports Mom.
So I'm going to back up a little bit. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, I can hear you, James Edda.
I'm going to back up a little bit, because pay-per-play and name, image, and likeness are not the same thing. Or getting a bribe to be quiet for name, image, and likeness are not the same thing. There has to be a contract involved. You get paid by a third party for a service. And that contract has to be on record. And so there are paper trails. There are paper trails with the school. There are paper trails with the NCAA. There's a paper trail with the IRS, because you're going to have to get a 1099 at the end of the year. So when athletes make NIL deals, it's very difficult to say, okay, I'm going to give you an NIL deal just because something happened to you and we need hush money, because you still have to provide a service. You can't it's not free money at all. It is, you provide a service for me and I'm going to pay you, or I'm going to give you some type of consideration. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. So those are two very different things. And then you
hold that thought for a second, because when you say that they're two very different things, they are and they aren't, because the lines could be blurry in between. Now hear me out on this. Where I see the lines becoming blurry, whether or not that NIL contract is renewed after X amount of years or after that 1 year, you know,
well,
whether or not
they're not indefinite contracts, though. That's my point. They're
that's true.
They're all for a limited point in time, and you can't keep the same contract when you leave college. So that piece, it's not like somebody can put you on their payroll indefinitely.
No, but they can put you on there at least a couple years. Like say,
perhaps.
I'm give you an example. If I did a name, image, and likeness contract with an individual for a year to help sell some cars on my car lot, okay, and they coming out and they helping me sell cars. We're doing this for a year. All depends on how this go, whether or not we're going to renew this contract come next year and whether or not this contract, the amount will go up come next year. You see where I'm at with that situation?
But how is that different from any other contract service? Pay you to market my product, and you don't do well marketing my product. At the end of the year, I'm not going to agree to renew your contract.
Exactly.
So that's on the surface. That's no different from the standard talent that a business would hire. That's the ability to not have a contract renewed. That's not unique to athletes. Everyone has that opportunity.
Understood. Now, let's switch that over to game performance. If the person
you can't.
Exactly. But that's why I said we need some regulations.
But that's already in place. You can't do pay for play at any level, in any state. Pay for play is wrong.
Well, currently it's wrong, you know, but that's just a play of words. That's something that society has put out there to say that, okay, we need to pull back on this and we want to make sure that this is not part of pay for play. Okay. But understand, and we all know, because it's been going on long before name, image, and likeness was put into law. And, you know, before that, there was situations that were going on long before that. So it's not anything really going to stop it now, but it needs to have some form of regulations, I think, to kind of sort of guide this thing.
Well, I would say this. There are laws in place. For example, Tennessee, Florida, the states that have laws, they've already written into the law that one, a school cannot – like EMU, their coach is saying, hey, guys, there's a particular quarterback. If you come here, we have $1 million NIL deal. That is not legal. And so what could happen is EMU could be found to be in violation of NCAA rules and also state law, because most states have already written into law, you cannot offer an athlete an NIL deal contingent upon their attendance. And when they get there, NIL deals cannot be written contingent on performance. You can't say, well, like the NFL does or basketball does with, you know, they give you bonuses if you hit certain numbers. You can't do that legally with an NIL deal today. So would someone leak, you know, could people break the law? Absolutely. But they'd be subject to prosecution. But legally, you can't do those things today.
I understand the legalities of it. I understand the legalities of it. But that's not to say
it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Oh, I don't disagree with you, but you're saying that there needs to be a rule, but the rule already exists. Now, do people break the rules? Absolutely they do. And when they break the rules, they're subject to prosecution and programs being, you know, put on probation or whatever the NCAA decides to do. But legally, those things that you, the thing that you mentioned, it already exists. Now, of course, you know, some people don't have ethics and they break laws all the time.
Exactly.
Whatever. I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying, but you, I feel like some of this recruiting, that's how a lot of people are going to where they're going. It's because
yeah.
they are promising them some kind of NIL deal, because they know that if I give you the, get you this NIL deal, it's going to bring this 4 or 5-star player here. Do I know of it? No, but it's happening. But that's just my opinion. You're not going to tell on yourself if you're the one getting the NIL deal. You get what I'm saying? You only tell if they promise you a deal and that deal don't come through and you signed over there. So now you're going to make some ruckus about it so it will draw attention to what has been done.
What you're going to see is, well, let me just say two things. One, we're talking about traditional marketing. And the real benefits of it to NIL is not actually traditional marketing. It's other things. It's monetizing your content. It's owning it, your own business, leveraging your actual platform as an athlete. But that's a different conversation. What you're really going to see when it comes to traditional marketing is you're going to see boosters become more creative, which I'm all for. For example, Florida, University of Florida has Gator Collective. And it's
right.
a group of fans and boosters. That's I love it. Yes. You know that if you're a Florida athlete, you can get an NIL deal. There is already a built-in platform for you. Any school mm-hmm. could do that. If you
mm-hmm.
like Texas, they have their Honest Heart thing that they're doing with the boosters. And if you're O-lineman and you come here and you devote your time to certain charities, we have $50,000 for you in NIL money. I'm all for that. That's what you're
mm-hmm.
going to see. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the standard to get into the University of Texas hasn't changed. The standard
right.
to be a Texas O-lineman hasn't changed. You just have a group of boosters that are saying, what can we do? How can we be creative? And every school needs to be creative like that. Doesn't matter
Absolutely.
How deep your pockets are. All of them should be thinking creatively.
Yeah, but that's where the problem comes in. And that's why I said I think there is a need for regulations, because if we don't regulate it, then you will have those that have deeper pockets continue to do what they've been doing all these years, and there won't be fairness across the board. You know, prime example, if you don't have a Deion Sanders at a HBCU, then you won't have 5-star and 4-star kids going to that institution. Just because he's there, now he has the opportunity to bring in athletes. He has the opportunity based upon his name to bring in athletes. But what about all the
mm-hmm.
other HBCUs that don't have that primetime coach or have a big name associated with their program? You know, they can't even get a simple television deal, nevertheless getting in a 4 or 5-star athlete and talking about trying to get in a individual or trying to get a NIL deal with a particular entity out there that's doing something. So, you know, the ones with the big pockets are not, you know, helping out these situations. That's why I think there is a need for a regulation. I will continue to stick by that, having a need for a regulation.
One of the most underutilized avenues, just off the cuff of NIL right now, are marketplaces like Mogul, and like the Match app, and
all kids don't know about marketplaces.
But that's because of education. That has nothing to do with them saying we're only going to go to certain schools. That's education. That's why I do what I do. That's why I started teaching the classes. That has to do with education. And unfortunately, what I have found is that smaller schools, and I'm saying this because this is what has been told to me. I've been offering my services to smaller schools because I know that they're not actively going out to seek NIL services. And what I have been told more than one occasion is, well, we don't feel like anyone's going to want our athletes, so what do we need education for? That is a university making a decision on the behalf of a whole entire group of athletes. People need to stop doing that. Universities only think traditional marketing. They don't think entrepreneurship. They don't think monetizing content. They don't think marketplaces. And lots of them are making decisions for kids and not even telling kids that they're making the decision. And that has got to stop.
That is so true. And that same mindset is filtering down to the high school levels now. But we're gonna continue to roll on because we've been on here for a good little minute now. But we're gonna roll back to, and thanks for sharing that insight, Sports Mom U, and continue to do the great things that you're doing. And I know folks can catch you. Are you back on Thursdays on your platform?
Yes, I am.
Thursdays, folks, Sports Family Network, Facebook Live. There is Sports Mom U presenting some great information on name, image, and likeness, as well as the Austin versus NCAA decision made by the Supreme Court mid part of the year, last summer. But let's go back to Sports Mom Network and let's see how she's going to help us close out here. You know, we truly enjoyed you being on with us this afternoon. Give us some insight and some things on how you're going to move forward with the network and what some of the things that you have planned.
You know, some of the things I have planned, I'm going to start doing live webinars or going live on my Facebook page. And I do have my Sports Mom podcast that I do every Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I'm just going to keep giving knowledge or keep sharing mistakes. Whatever that is going to help the next person, I am going to keep pushing that information out because I'm a key believer. It takes a village. And with that, we can all collectively help our kids get to the next as long as we are on top of our toes with them.
Awesome. And I know I still have Sports Mom U and Can We Talk Sports still on, and I'm still considering trying to pull together a national virtual conference where, you know, we have a group of us get together and bring in a group of parents that need information, and we do various workshops, and we have keynote speakers on the main stage, and, you know, just something to get the information out there, and each one of us have an opportunity to share, you know, with our listening audience and, you know, whoever attend the conference that, hey, you know, this resource is right around the corner from you. You just need to tap into it and be able to work with and through it.
Anytime you're ready, let me know. Anytime.
All right.
And I do appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon. How folks can keep up with you and what you got going on, Sports Mom Network page and whatever else is out there. What other social media platforms are you on?
I'm on Twitter, Sports Mom on the Go. And like I said, I do my podcast every Monday, Sports Mom. I do the Life of a Sports Mom on my podcast every month Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And
every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Where can they find that podcast?
It's on Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
I am here.
We are here for you. We truly enjoy you joining us this afternoon. Definitely.
Okay.
We're going to do this again.
Right.
We're going to stay in touch. And, hey, you have a great afternoon. We appreciate you. Folks, we've been talking with, a host of great folks this afternoon. Sports Mom U, Can We Talk Sports, and our special guest for this afternoon, Sports Moms Network. And just think about it. They bringing some things, you know, like I said, it's all around us, folks. We have resources available for you. every person that spoke this afternoon has a resource for you in different parts of the country. It's not like you only have to connect with those out there in California or connect with those in Texas or those in Tennessee or folks over here on the East Coast or those folks down in Florida, those folks in the northeast corner of the United States, those folks in the Midwest. The resources are out there. Sports Mom Network, Can We Talk Sports, Sports Mom U, and of course, the collective Parents Coaching Parents Network. We're here to guide, assist, mentor, and educate the next generation of parents. We understand the importance of being our child's biggest advocate. We like to look at it from the perspective of we must be our child's very first agent in the sports industry. Folks, this is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And until next Sunday at 3 p.m., hey, you have a great week. We out of here. Where you at, Keith?